From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 22nd day of February 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds at Windsor, Illinois, will join us too. We'll discuss the cash grain side of that marketplace with him. And then as we wrap up our time together, we'll take up the weather forecast, Argentina, of course, with Mike Tenora, T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Along the way, I'll give you details about this morning's Illinois performance tested bull sale. I was there and talked with Extension's Travis Mateer, and we'll do all of that right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Don't forget to pick up your tickets to the All-Day Agricultural Outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. That's just about a week and a half away now on the sixth day, a Tuesday in March. The cost is just $30. We'll have more than a dozen analysts there. You should be too. WillAg.org to buy them online or 800-898-1065 if you would like to make a phone call. That during regular business hours. And we'll have, again, more than a dozen analysts, and one of them will be Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. He now joins us. Hey, Dan, first, thanks for being with us, for coming to the All-Day Ag Outlook. And can you give me your assessment of where we are in the commodity markets right now?
Well, I think for the most part, so far this week has been a moral victory, I think, for people that want to be price-friendly this market. We've had a nice, steady advance basically during January, and that advance continued without any really hiccups all the way into the early part of this week. Now, since Tuesday, we've kind of went into a couple days here, what I would call consolidation, taking a breather, working off an overbought technical condition. And the audience has heard me say this many times, is it's not uncommon for the market to go opposite the last week or so of each month of what the dominant trend has been. And I think what we're seeing here is some long profit taking from a pretty nice advance during January, February. Everybody's looking at the technical side of the market and kind of feels that maybe we're ripe for a correction. But underlying support of the market continues to be the demand side, and it looks like world supplies are shrinking some with the weather issues that we're seeing in Argentina. We are seeing some downward adjustments in soybean production. We're seeing some downward adjustments in corn production. And when you get any kind of decline going on in that type of market, that's going to provide some underlying support to the market complex. Now, I also believe, and I've mentioned this before, is I think this tax glitch in the new tax bill called 199A or whatever it is, I think that has slowed some movement of commodities into the marketplace. And I think that's been somewhat of a supportive feature. And something that I noticed this week, and I can't really say for sure where I saw it on the wire, but I thought Tuesday when the market was higher and then we came back and we closed lower, so we had some reversal down in the marketplace, is I think there was some comment or some news story attributing change to the 199A that Senator Grassley said that there was a fix in the works. Now, whether or not that's going to happen immediately or that's going to be a month from now or 2 months from now, but I think that was one of the key reasons why the market softened up from its highs that we saw on Tuesday. And so for now, until proven wrong, I guess I want to call Tuesday the Grassley high. And those highs here at Deese corn is 399, March corn at 380 or 368 and a half. March soybeans was 1039, and November soybeans was 1032 and a half. And so now from a technical perspective, I don't think we're going to challenge him here tomorrow or Monday, because I still think we're in this consolidation or correctional phase. But I would say by the start of the new month or thereabouts, the market needs to regroup and go up and take those highs out, or otherwise, then we would go into a little deeper correction. So that's something I think technicians are going to be watching, and of course, that's what I'm going to be watching, too, over the next few days or so.
In fact, Senator Grassley did mention that there might be a fix in the works for Section 199A, but he didn't say when, just that Congress was coming to more agreement about that, so we'll have to wait that one out. However, I did make note that, as you mentioned, it put in a higher high on Tuesday, also a lower low, so it was an outside down day. Does that really mean anything in your mind?
Well, the thing that when you get a reversal like that, in order to really solidify it, it needs to show follow through. And really, the market has not been able to show any follow-through, because actually corn, I think, did close up a little bit yesterday. We closed up a little bit here today. So there was really no downside follow-through from that reversal. Now, soybeans, I think, was actually a little bit higher yesterday. Today, they're a little bit lower. Maybe tomorrow we'll get an answer whether or not we'll get some downside follow through going into the weekend. I think some people were thinking maybe they might get a shocker or two out of today's USDA forum numbers on planted acres. And I think for the most part on their planted acreage estimates for the 17 crop year or the 18 crop year here, pretty much unchanged. And I think the wheat number was maybe a little higher than what the trade was looking at. These are guesses. We're going to find a more solid number at the end of the month. And the way the market has performed and the way the new crop prices on both December corn and November soybeans have performed so far, unless they totally fall out of bed here over the next few days, we're going to end up with some price averages that I think is going to encourage more plantings than probably what USDA announced today. So it wouldn't surprise me down the road that we see more corn and more soybeans. While these prices that we're going to have on the insurance policies may not be real attractive to the people here in Illinois and Indiana and our price in our listening audience, everybody in Illinois and Indiana need to realize that farmers outside of Illinois and Indiana, some of their cost of production is lower because they have a much lower land cost, so they can maybe make money. It's easier for them to make money at lower prices than it is maybe in the states that have the higher land prices. So I'm kind of, that's going to be an interesting number to see, at the end of the month, of whether or not we plant more corn and soybeans for the 18 crop year versus the 17 crop year.
Hey, thanks for being with us, Dan. We'll talk with you again next Thursday, and then the following Tuesday we'll see you at the Beef House.
Very well. Looking forward to seeing my old friends and renewing our acquaintances next Tuesday.
And of course is Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, and he will be with us on the 6th day of March. That's the first Tuesday of the month over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. You can too, along with more than a dozen of our analysts and three extra folks to talk about the marketplace place and some production agriculture. The cost is just $30. Tickets online, willag.org or 800-898-1065.
Lot number one from All Star now behind in a minute 2000. Hit 2, 22 and a half. Hit 2, 22 and a half in a minute 25. Hit 5, 5, 7 and a half in a minute 3,000. I get 3, in a minute 3, 2 and a half in a minute 35, 7 and a half, 4. Hit 4,000 in a minute 1, 1, 1, 1.
Well, we're here in Springfield at the State Fairgrounds for the Illinois Beef Expo, and the kickoff event is always the Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale. We're now joined by Travis Mateer. He's an extension specialist in beef and helps to organize the sale. Thanks for being with us. How many bulls do we have for auction on this day?
Yeah, we're going to offer up 50 bulls to sell today. So, as you know, Todd, these bulls have to meet a lot of requirements to make the sale. And so we catalog 64 bulls. There's 50 of them that passed all the tests that we ask them to test, and we're going to offer them up for sale today.
So you've been following these bulls since before they were born, actually.
Yeah, so the genetics in these bulls are planned, right? These are planned matings. Decades worth of breeding decisions go behind these bulls. And then they first hit my radar in the fall when producers nominate those bulls, and we take a look at them and see if they qualify at that time. And then we put them through the ringer with all the tests and health requirements that we ask them to pass. And the end destination is here in Springfield.
So yesterday, I'm assuming you took all 64 through. There are things like frame scores and measurements, and you've been collecting data all along on them as well.
Right. So those bulls have to, we do collect data on those bulls, and then they have to meet our requirements. Some of those requirements that you alluded to, frame score, weight, scrotal circumference. We ask those bulls to pass a breeding soundness exam. They have to come from yonis free dams, have to be BVD PI free, all this list of things that goes on and on. And then the breeders have to do their job to get all that information processed through the breed association. So there's a lot of steps, there's a lot of hoops, there's a lot of hurdles. But knowing that, we feel like we're offering these bull buyers here today a product that's second to none.
So there are a couple of things that listeners may or may not understand. Yoni's free dam is a disease that they're free of. The mother would be that in that case. And then I was asked this question in the last week about scrotal circumference in particular. Why do you measure, and what difference does it make?
A couple things. First, it alludes to the fertility of the bull. And it also alludes to the puberty of that bull and his daughters. So it's a sign of fertility, and it's also a sign of fertility in the offspring that that bull is going to produce. And so we think of these bulls as genetics, right? We're buying this genetic package. We want that to have a lasting impact on our herd. And so some of that does boil back down into that measurement of scrotal circumference and what kind of lasting power and fertility that bull is going to offer to that herd.
How did we come up with this as a particular measurement? Do you know, or what does it really mean? And are there designs on size that make a difference?
Well, producers, if we can measure it, we can make change. And so, but you know, this probably dates back 40, 50 years ago, when producers are figuring out, okay, we know what the bull weighs, we know how tall they are, and what we can measure, we can start to make decisions on and how to improve that. And then research, you know, the University of Illinois and the research that we do there and other land grant institutions correlate some of those measurements to these economically relevant, impactful traits in a producer's herd. And so that's what happens. We measure something, and then we do research on it and say, this is going to impact the producer's bottom dollar. And so that's why we do it. It's not for nothing.
So it's all in this Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale about data-driven decision-making to improve the herd, not just on the farm, but for the state.
And the consumer. I mean, this goes all the way down the pipe. This is pasture gate all the way to plate. So these bulls also have carcass information on them too that allude to the tenderness and the eating experience of these bulls' progeny. So it really is a full big. This is a big picture decision, and producers have a lot to look at. We give them all that information. They set their priorities and make their bull buying decisions today. Well, we feel like we offer that to those buyers, where they can sit here and prioritize those traits and say, here's what I really need to improve in my herd. And no doubt can they find that here at the IPT Bull Sale.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That, of course, is Travis Mateer. He's a beef extension specialist for the University of Illinois.
44, got 43 up high, 44. 44, 44, 43, 4. I get him one, 4,400. Let him out. And I'm in 43. You get 40, 400 on him. Sold the ball. 40, 300 on him. Goodbye. 40, 300.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Buy those tickets for the All-Day Ag Outlook at willag.org, 800-898-1065. Mike Tenor is now here from T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Mike, I take it that the weather remains dry in Argentina.
It certainly is, and the real reason we're talking about Argentina is the same reason that we've been talking about Argentina for a long time now, and that is because of the lack of rain. As we move forward, there's not much rain in the forecast. We don't see any rain out there until possibly Tuesday or Wednesday of next week, and even that chance is a little bit iffy. Now, one thing you need to keep in mind when we talk about this is that the next 3 weeks are climatologically the wettest of the entire year. They average about 1.5 to 2 inches of rain every week all the way through the middle of March. So when you talk about an entire week without rain, you're talking about some very large deficits. Prior to this period, their climate is more similar to what we have in Illinois and Iowa in the summer. And that's where you see around 1 inch, maybe a little bit more than that per week. But they get a big ramp up there at the end of February and over the first 2 weeks of March. So here we go, right into that period where rain should ramp up. And instead, we're not seeing much of anything. Again, it stays dry there through at least Monday. Then a few thunderstorms begin Tuesday and Wednesday, end sometime around Friday and Saturday. But the way it looks at this moment, we're only going to see widely scattered thunderstorms. Rainfall over the next 7 to 10 days will probably range from 1/4 inch to 3/4 inch in most areas, with a few areas seeing over 1 inch. But again, we need a lot more than that. Once that system goes through, then we don't see a whole lot of rain again. So, Todd, this is what a drought looks like, and we have some rather fascinating statistics, too, if you'd like to talk about them.
You bet. Tell me about it.
Well, that's great, because the number one thing that we're watching is the amount of rain that fell, or more accurately, didn't fall, from January through February. If you take their rainfall and weight it by soybean production, which is what a company called Speedwell Weather does out of London, we subscribe to that data service so we can process it. So now, if you take the rainfall from then, weighted by soybean production, you come to the conclusion that going all the way back to 1980, the period of January and February were number two driest, only a tiny, tiny bit wetter than 1980. So the January-February period is going to go down as number one or two driest of the last 39 growing seasons. If you isolate out the driest five growing seasons, which this one will rank within, all of those had yields that were much below trend on soybeans. On the lower side of things, we had 2 years, 1989 and 2009, that had a soybean yield that was 25% below trend. The other 3 years were between 8 and 11% below trend. The USDA right now is basically forecasting soybean production to be at 54 million metric tons in Argentina. That's less than 1% below trend. So you can easily take off 10% to possibly 25% if we really start to get bad here later in March. And once you start to plug in those types of numbers, you come to the conclusion that the top end of yield potential is more than likely around 50 million metric tons in Argentina. And you could argue your way all the way down to 40 to 41 million metric tons.
Well, we'll check in to see how things are going in another week. Thanks so much, Mike.
That sounds great, Todd. We'll see how it all pans out.
Mike Tenor is with T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm Todd Gleason.